Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and move right along here as we open up this great chapter about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Are you ready for that? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are differences of ministries, but it is the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So that's very interesting for us to notice, that diversities of gifts, but it's the same Lord. It's a diversity of ministries. Different churches have different callings on their lives. All of us to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. We have a very strong evangelistic teaching call on our life as a church. But we notice that there's only one Lord, and there's different administration of these gifts, but there's only one Lord, the same God, who works all in all. Otherwise, he makes them all work according to how he wants it to be done for the community that the Christian is working in. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That tells us that whatever my gift is or whatever your gift is, there's a purpose to it. And that is to edify the body of Christ. It's not to draw attention to yourself and to edify yourself with it. Your gift is exactly that. It's something that's been given to you. And then when you exercise it with the purpose of bettering somebody else. And these spiritual gifts are tremendous gifts for the church to have and to exercise. So there's a purpose, and that's to edify the body of Christ. For one person, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts, and underline gifts or circle, it's plural, gifts of healings, plural. So there's many ways that you can heal people with your gifts. And we can't say that a doctor or a nurse couldn't be used with that kind of a gift. So God can do it miraculous or you know, any way he wants. By the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So, you could have more than one gift. I have more than one gift. And the Holy Spirit is the one that gives the gift. The pastor or the elders, the deacons, or the ecclesiastical hierarchy of a denomination do not give the gifts. God gives them to you. And usually he'll give a gift to a person that would not necessarily be their personality so that he would get the glory. You would see that, wow, that's definitely the Lord working through that person. So note this, that these gifts that are mentioned here in chapter 12 are not the end of the gifts. There are other places that we can study that list more gifts. Some people say, well, these are the gifts of the Spirit, end of the story. That's not true. There are more gifts than this, and we'll see that a little later on. Let's back up for just a moment. And we realize that the Holy Spirit is the giver of the gifts. Each person is able to be their own self and minister according to their way and their spirit. And there's a diversity of how the ministration and the activity takes place, we're told in verse 6. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So when the Holy Spirit uses these gifts inside of you and me, he wants to benefit the body of Christ, and he wants to exalt God. So here's the first gift that he mentions, the word of wisdom. But notice that the word of wisdom comes through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Now, these two gifts are very similar in exercising. First of all, the word of wisdom is a word that God would give to a person that would just be profound. You hear him speak, and you say, wow, that's really wisdom there. I accept that as wisdom. Now, the interesting thing is the person, normally when you're with them, aren't always the wisest person to be around. So when you hear them speak, you know that the Lord has spoken through them. But it is a gift that would bring a very succinct answer at a time that a person or the church or leadership or a situation had risen, that somebody has a word of wisdom, and you, everybody looks at it and says, well, that's so practical, it's so down to earth, that's it. You just understand the situation so very clearly, and it was wisdom that was able to clarify that. So that's a great gift that some of you may have. Sandy, my wife, has that gift. She has a word of wisdom. And I definitely know when it's the Lord. And I also know when it's her twist of my arm, too. So there is a difference. But it's a great gift to be able to speak that pearl of wisdom at the right time. Now, the second gift is much like this first gift, the word of knowledge. Some people would say, well, wouldn't that be wisdom if you have knowledge? Not necessarily. I've exercised the word of knowledge before, where it really doesn't take any wisdom, but it's almost a third gift that comes in here is the gift of discernment. But knowledge, this gift, is that God, by His Spirit, gives you knowledge that nobody else has around you. And all of a sudden, you see something that nobody else sees. I've talked to people before, and all of a sudden that word of knowledge comes to me, and I can see exactly what's going on in their life, and I know something about them. Or the Lord could say to you, you might have the gifts of healing and the word of knowledge, and you could say there's a man right back here, and this man's sick, and God wants to heal him tonight, and he's in about the fourth row. And you have a word of knowledge. You may not even know why you said that man in the fourth row, or why you pointed at him, but the Holy Spirit spoke through you. And the key, like the word of wisdom, is you're a person that is flexible to be used by God, and God will speak through you and use you when the time comes necessary for Him to enter this realm that we live in and let wisdom and knowledge flow forth. Now, notice it's through the same Spirit, but two separate gifts. To another, there is a gift of faith by the same Spirit. Now, there's a lot in the Bible about faith. We know this. We know that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if we live a life that's not of faith as a Christian man or a woman, we're actually living a sinful life. If we make our decisions without faith being involved, they're actually sinful decisions. Faith means that we don't just exercise it once in a while, but we use it all the time. We know that the just, we're told in the book of Romans, the just shall live or must live by faith. So now we know that we're commanded to live by faith as Christian people. Now, we also know that faith, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit's agape love. So now we know that if we have the Spirit living in us, then the fruit of that is that we do have faith. Now, we know that it takes faith to believe and it takes faith to receive salvation. And so all of us, we are told from the Bible, to every man is given a measure of faith. So all of us have an amount of faith. It's a measured faith. I may have larger faith. You may have larger faith. I have found out that my faith increases as I get older, but not necessarily because I'm getting older, but because I have so many experiences that I've stepped out in faith and I've seen God do so much. It's easier for me to step out on faith and to exercise faith in a given situation. Then on other sides of the coin, I have seen where I had no idea how God could work through this or get people through it or even myself, and then God does it. And I had no faith, but God still did it. So we all have a measure of faith. And the more you use your faith, the stronger you get and the more God can use you. But the gift of faith is a person that really trusts God for everything. If you have ever been through our discipleship leadership course, you know that George Mueller is one of the books we require for reading. And Mueller, I started reading when I first became a Christian, and I think he's one of the reasons that I have always enjoyed doing things that other people don't have the faith to do. He was very strong in England and building orphanages and taking street children off the streets. He never asked anybody ever physically for a penny, literally a penny, a dime, a nickel, or any money at all, but yet God gave him hundreds and hundreds of homeless children. And he would pray. There's one story of just down to the wire that he shared in one of his books, how that he spent the night at one of his orphanages that he was meeting with the headmaster and the people. And when he got up in the morning, they were told, he said, you know, the boys are all coming downstairs in about 10 or 15 minutes, but we don't have any milk, we don't have any eggs, we don't have any bread, we have no cereal, we have nothing to feed these boys. And George Mueller said, God never lets us down. What are you worrying about? Let's start praying. And they said, but we've only got 10 minutes. And he prays, and there's a knock on the door, and the baker is at the door and says, you know, I had an overrun on bread, an overrun on rolls, overrun on da-da-da-da. And then there's another knock on the door, and the milkman says, my wheel broke on the cart, and I've got these eggs and this cheese and butter and milk, and could I give it to you? And by the time the boys came downstairs, they were already putting stuff on the table for the boys. Another time, he always paid his bills, and he trusted God for the money. Another time, they were 2 pennies short of a bill, of paying some bill, and he was at one of the orphanages, and he said, have you checked the agape boxes? Have you checked everything? We've checked everything. He said, well, check again. And they went, and he hit the bottom of the agape box, and there it was. 2 pennies was in there, right to the penny of what he needed. And from that, I started learning as a very young Christian that God would always provide for me. He'd always provide for his ministry, and you don't need to beg and come up with gimmicks to get money to do what God wants to do. So that's a tremendous gift, that gift of faith, that maybe you say, I have the faith that we could da-da-da-da-da-da, and everybody stand around you and say, no way, Jose, or Enrique, or Caesar, or any of them back there. And yet God would give you that gift, and your gift of faith, when it's time to exercise it, man, you make a lot of people go forward. Now, our lease is almost up on this property, and the school's going to take it away. And for us to find a facility big enough for us, this is going to be $25 to $40 million. Now, I don't really have the faith for that, but I do have the faith that God will have us in a facility at the right time. Now, I don't know where it is or what it is or how it's going to come to pass. I have that faith. Now, other people have faith for money. And some people say, well, resources are nothing for God. Now, I can see ministry and I can trust him for resources. But you see, your faith could move a body. Your faith could move a mountain if necessary for God to accomplish what he wants. So that's a great gift. The gift of wisdom, that you have the right thing to say at the right time. And some of you, I noticed as I was explaining that one, turned to your friends next to you and saying, you don't have that one. And then there's the gift of knowledge, the word of knowledge, being able to see into a situation and say exactly what's going on. And then this gift of faith, that's a tremendous gift that you can inspire other people and you can take giant steps for the Lord. All by the same Holy Spirit, different administrations, meaning that 5 of us may have the gift of wisdom, 5 may have the gift of faith, 5 may have the word of knowledge. But all 5 of us with those 3 categories all exercise them in different ways, and they manifest themselves in different ways. So that means don't judge. For to one is given the word of wisdom, to another faith by the same Spirit, and then to another gifts, plural, of healings by the same Spirit. Now this is a tremendous gift, to trust God that he can heal a body. When Sandy and I got remarried and had 2 children, first time we were married to each other, and now to make $75 a week as a minister, it was very rough when your kids got sinus infections or, you know, they had problems and you didn't have any money to take them to a doctor. We learned very early, lay hands on them, pray for them, and God will heal them. But we know that from James, if there's any sick or any afflicted among you, let them call for the elders of the church. And let them anoint them with oil and let them lay hands on them and pray for them. And God will heal the sick person. And if he's committed any sins, let him confess his sins. So we know there's a gift there to have the wisdom to do what the Bible says. And to call for the elders of the church. And then the elders are exercising the gift of faith to say, okay, we have faith in God's word. We're going to lay hands. We're going to anoint with oil. Now, I am sure and I know that God does use individuals. But I always have a question about when the attention is on the individual as upon the Lord who gave the individual the gift. There's the line that separates right there. Is the gift drawing attention to the person, and is it elevating the person and their ministry, or is the gift elevating the Lord Jesus Christ and giving honor and glory to God the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit? And so the gifts of healing can show up in many ways. I know when I go to the doctor and I'm sick, I'm not going to say, I'm not sick and I don't feel bad, but that's why I'm here, doc. And there are Christians that say, well, you have no faith because if you had faith, you wouldn't be sick. That's a lie. That's not true. Well, you see, there's sin in your life or you wouldn't be sick. That's a lie. That's not true. In the book of Titus, it says that Paul left, was it Trophimus or one of the men in the city of Miletus because he was sick. Well, if anybody had the gifts of miracles and healing, it's Paul the Apostle, and he left one of his assistants sick somewhere and left him by himself and went off to minister somewhere else. So we know that God doesn't heal everybody, and we know that not everybody is well all the time. But God has given plural gifts of healing in the body of Christ. And, you know, I have learned when somebody says, I'm not feeling well, it's good to just pray for them. Why don't you, as a church, say, hey, let's pray for that right now. Or you're with somebody and they're struggling over an issue. Well, let's ask God for wisdom. Because in the book of James, it says in chapter 1, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives it liberally and will not reprove you for asking. But don't let that man ask without faith, wavering like a sea wave that is tossed to and fro, for that man shall receive nothing from the Lord. So it's important for us to learn with all these gifts. If you're just saying, well, I don't know if I have these gifts. Well, the best way to find out is to exercise them. You don't know that you can pick up a 10-pound dumbbell until you've picked up a 10-pound dumbbell. And you've worked out with it for a little while, and you don't know that you can pick up a 50-pound dumbbell until you've picked up a 50-pound dumbbell. Now, you've dated dumbbells. Why don't you have the faith to pick up the dumbbells, you know? And so the best thing for the church is to instantly pray. How many times do people say, I'm not feeling well? They say, well, that's really too bad. You know, and you walk away. Or how about this? I'm not feeling well. Oh, I'll pray for you. Well, why not pray right then and there? Two good things happen. God uses that a point of contact to increase your faith and the sick person's faith. And then secondly, you've done your obligation, and it's better to get it over with, because if you forget an hour from now and you see the person 2 days, say, have you been praying for me? Sort of. You know, so it's just, you know, and somebody says, I don't know what to do. Why don't the two of you, the seven of you that are out at the ballgame, say, well, let's pray right now and ask God for a word of wisdom. Let's ask God for a word of knowledge and what's really going on with that couple. We need to know what's going on. We both think that they're living in sin, but we're not sure. Well, God can give you a word of knowledge on that. So the gifts of healing. And then to another person in the church is giving the working of miracles. Now, that's a tremendous gift. We don't see many miracles anymore because people aren't exercising it, but it's a gift that's available. Now, we don't see miracles such as walking on water or Joshua stopping the sun and the moon and a day passing by without the earth rotating on its axis. We don't see those kind of miracles, but we do see miracles every day without recognizing as miracles every time a person's born again. The Bible says that all the angels in heaven rejoice. Well, there's millions upon millions upon millions, and they flip out and have a party as soon as some sinner comes to Jesus Christ. A person delivered from drugs, that's a miracle. A marriage put back together, that's a miracle. So that's a great gift to have. And again, when a person has that gift of miracles, they're not going to be tooting the horn and saying, look at me, I'm the miracle man. Have a cape and a big M on their chest, you know, and run through the streets of San Diego, you know, with a big black Bible and a cross around their neck. But that is a gift that's available. Now to another, the gift of prophecy. Now the gift of prophecy is an interesting gift. It usually is dealing with the plan of the Lord dealing with the future for his people. In the Old Testament, the prophets dealt with God's plan concerning Israel. In the church, the same thing. Now, there was a false prophets movement that passed through the country about 6 years ago, and there was this group of prophets, and they went into the charismatic churches and propagated this prophet school. And there's so many people damaged by that. You know something? I don't need a prophet to come to me and tell me, this is what God has for your life, Mike. I'm walking with the Lord. In Hebrews, for instance, turn in the book of Hebrews to me to chapter 2. Let me show you what I'm talking about so you can put this gift in context. Chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And there's the key. In the old days, he spoke through the prophets, but in these last days, he's spoken through his Son, Jesus Christ. So people that are weak in their relationship with God fall prey to, quote-unquote, prophets. Then come say, you know what the Lord wants for you? And all of a sudden, they start listening to a man or a prophetess, a woman, of what God wants. Well, I'm in the Bible every day. I'm praying every day. I mean, God hasn't left me. I know what he demands and desires of me, and I'm in fellowship with him. Now, somebody could come along and have a prophecy and prophesy something for the future that so-and-so, such-and-such, but I'll tell you what, the Bible says in the Old Testament, if somebody prophesies something that doesn't come to pass, they're a false prophet. You take them outside the gates of the city and you stone them to death. So if you have a tendency to be recognized, you better be very careful if you're drawing attention to yourself that you are a prophet, because the first time you miss, you've lost all credibility. So this gift of prophecy is to benefit the body of Christ and to strengthen it and to encourage it. Then there's this other gift, this discerning of spirits. Now, this gift of discernment is very important for the body of Christ. And discernment is something that is lacking in the body of Christ. If you sit every day and you counsel every day, you wonder in amazement, how do Christians get themselves in these situations? I'll tell you how. They don't read their Bible and they don't pray and they aren't walking with God. They're in the flesh most of the time. They're carnal. And they've got themselves in a situation because of that. But discernment is so important to know who you're dating, who you're going into business with, just to discern if you belong going this way or belong going that way. Just to know what God wants from you. And be able to discern if another person has a spirit in them that is not of God is a very important gift. Because the devil, we're told in 1 Corinthians, we'll see it later in our studies, can transform himself into an angel of light, deceiving the body of Christ. It's no wonder, because his angels are ministers of unrighteousness, transforming themselves into ministers of righteousness. They've infiltrated the church. And I have seen wolves in sheep clothing in every shape, size, color, and size in this town come through the church. And every wind of doctrine blow through the church, and all the other guys go running after it and say, hey, just stop. This isn't something we want to propagate or teach. It takes us too much to concentrate on Genesis to Revelation. Why would we want to take something outside of here? It's a distraction from the devil. And so the devil can send a seducing spirit, a lying spirit. There's all sorts of spirits spoken about in the Bible. There's depressing spirits. And many times there's a situation going on and you all are roommates or friends and you're feeling sorry for somebody and their life is just a mess. And boy, if one of you just had that gift of discerning, you could discern, this is spiritual warfare. There's demonic activity here. That's what this is about. You know, this isn't about psychosomatic problems. This is about, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and spiritual principalities and wickedness in heavenly places. So it's a tremendous gift to have. But again, usually a person gets this spirit gift and they want to draw attention to themselves. That I'm the great demon caster out. Well, keep me away from the demons. You take all you want. I just want to get through and get to heaven. But if I have to confront a demon, and I've cast demons out of people before, it's an ugly thing. It's nothing to mess with. I'll never forget back when we were at the North Park Theater, and we had offices behind the theater back in the 70s, and we just started as a church. And my assistant pastor, who's the pastor of Horizon in Indianapolis, Bill Goodrich, buzzed my phone and says, Mike, can you come in here? There's a demon-possessed guy in here. And I said, how do you know? And he said, he has come in. I need your help. So I came in. It was about 5:30, 6 o'clock, and he'd been in there about an hour for this guy. And the guy looked a little bit edgy, you know, but I didn't see any horns or fangs or drool or anything. I said, well, listen, you know, I've got a service due here in about a half hour. And so Bill told me to come in that you're having some. Yeah, I'm having real problems. I said, but how bad are these problems? I mean, he says that maybe there's some demonic activity here. And this guy let out this foul scream and yell. And he picked up a bookcase. It was against the wall. And I bet that thing had 5 or 6 rows of books in it. Picked it up with all the books in it. And they took a couple hundred pounds or so. And then threw it against the other wall. And then took his fist and slammed it through the drywall. And I said, Bill, I think he is demon possessed. And I walked out of his office and closed the door and left him with the guy. I was not ready to go with that guy. I did call some other people and say, would you go in and help Bill? He's got a problem in there. Sure, Mike. It was bad. I remember one night on a Wednesday night that we would give an invitation in the 70s, and 300-400 people a week were coming to the Lord on the Wednesday night outreaches. And we would be out on the sidewalks, the parking lot, in the street. And on the corner of 29th and North Park Way, was a guy laying in the middle of the street with four men holding his legs and his arms by. This guy was foaming at the mouth. He was possessed. And there was a couple of Navy SEAL guys there that were trying to hold this guy down. He had demonic power in him. A police officer drove up and looked at him. God said, what's going on here? And he said, well, this guy's possessed. And he said, what? And he walked over and looked at him and he says, okay, you guys take care of it. He drove off. I mean, he knew that this was bad. And I came out about 10:30 walking towards my car, and I saw this guy take his arms and throw two guys off of him and two guys holding his legs and kicking them, and said, hey, guys, has anybody just said in the name of Jesus come out of him? They looked at each other and, well, no, we've been wrestling him. Well, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And I said, hold it, buddy, you're possessed. In the name of Jesus Christ, come out of him, you demon, and leave him alone. The guy screamed, and he relaxed a little bit, and I said, now counsel him. I'm tired. I'm going home. And I got my car and drove off, and you know, people tell me, well, we went for 18 hours with this demon, and how many are in there? Well, who cares how many's in there? Well, what's your name? Well, who wants to know a demon's name? They're going to lie to you anyhow. My name's Fred. Okay, Fred, in the name of Jesus. Oh, I was just kidding. My name is George. Okay, Fred and George, get out of there. No, my name's Nanette. No, Nanette, get out of there, you know, and they're going to lie to you, and you hear people, they get all hung up on, you know, you've got an obesity demon, a fat demon, that's why you're overweight. I've heard people say that before, you know. You've got a smoking demon, that's why you can't give up the cigarettes. You've got a bubblegum chewing demon, that, you know. No, it's a real gift to be able to discern what's going on. Now, one of the classic demon possession situations Sandy and I were involved in, while he was still alive, Dr. Walter Martin said this was one of the most classic situations he had ever heard of. We were at a pastor's conference up at Twin Peaks by Lake Arrowhead, and I was in the back row, and somebody came and said, Mike, could you come over to the fire station here in Twin Peaks? We've got a problem. I said, yeah, sure, and I slid out the back and went over, and the firefighters, about four or five of them, were there, and this pastor, and he said, next door was a church, and this woman was sitting in the flowers in the ice plant, and they said, she's possessed. And she's just really bizarre, and we don't know what to do. Could you help us? And I said, well, what do you mean she's possessed? How do you know that? I said, well, she's possessed. And two sheriffs were standing there, and they said, she's possessed. And we can't hold her down, so we need some help, and we're leaving it in your guys' hands. And the two sheriffs, San Bernardino County, drove off. So the firefighters are there. She's sitting in their ice plant. They can't go anywhere, right? So I said, well, how do you know she's possessed? She's possessed. They called Patton State Mental Hospital down at the bottom of the hill here at San Bernardino. The guys came up in the paddy wagon deal with the jacket, you know, the crazy person's jacket. And she saw them, and these two men went walking up to get her, and she growled at them like a bear. And these guys freaked out and got in the little ambulance, and they're gone. I said, is it really that bad? Do you think it's really that bad? So I walked over and said, excuse me, ma'am. And she's sitting there all docile. I said, you need some help? Yeah, I'm all messed up. That's what I heard. You've had a rough day. Rough day? And all of a sudden she just, whoa. I said, boy, just relax, relax, relax. So I went and drove the 2 miles back to the conference and got Sandy and Chuck Smith's wife and Don McClure and some other guys that were all there. And I said, there's this demon. Could you guys help? And there's this woman. They said, sure, sure. So Raul Reese was there. And I think you all know Raul. We've been good buddies. And he's a black belt, 1857 degree something or other, kung fu guy. And Raul's really good. He still trains and still has students that he teaches. And I said, Raul, this lady, she's bad. But let's talk her into the church, because maybe, you know, God will be on our side a little more. Let's just get her into the church. I will start talking to her, and then you just be behind her, and if anything goes wrong, show her the love of Christ, will you? I mean, just take her out. So he says, yeah, sure, Mike. So I'm standing up by the altar, and here she is. She's about 25, 30 years old, you know, and her husband is there too. And the husband says, she's always been like this, but this is the worst it's ever been. And so I walked up to her and stood face to face, and I said, I was here about 15 minutes ago talking to you, and you want help? Because we want to, yes, I want help. I mean, you really want help? Yes, I really want help. I said, well, do you want to know God? I don't talk about God. So there's my first clue. Now, one thing I know that hell doesn't like to hear about is Jesus. So you talk, well, what about Jesus Christ? Don't talk about Jesus Christ. And then the next thing they hate is, but the blood of Christ. She started growling. I says, you know, it's the blood of Christ. I said, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ. And before I could get it out the third time, she was at my throat. And Raul Reese grabbed her from behind the back, wrapped his arms under her, and had her in a full pretzel position. And she was throwing him around the church. He could not hold her, and he's a strong man. And he just backed off. Well, by 20, 30 minutes, another dozen people came in, got her down on the floor, and Don McClure worked for about an hour and a half of trying to cast a demon out. And then the demon spoke, and you knew this was demons. This was classic exorcist movie style stuff. This lady had green gel flowing out of her mouth and this deep voice speaking that was inhuman, saying that nobody gets her because her grandfather used to worship the devil and gave his soul to the devil and all of his children and grandchildren following him. So she had this curse and said, she belongs to me. And so Sandy and I and several other couples just sat in the back of the pews and just prayed and prayed and prayed. And it went on for a couple hours, and finally, there was a scream, and she was let loose. And the devil lost that battle with that woman. That was a tough one. Actually, I'm exhausted just telling the story. So that's not a gift that you want to flaunt. You want to keep it low-key. You don't want to have exorcists on your mailbox or business cards that you hand out. Because you will get all the weirdos of San Diego calling you and coming to see you. Maybe you already have all the weirdos coming to see you. I don't know. So that's a great gift there, this discerning of spirits. Now, to another, different kinds of tongues. Now, that doesn't mean you get two, three tongue thing out of your mouth. It doesn't mean that. But the ability to speak other languages. And to another person, the gift of interpretation of tongues. Now, this is the most misused gift publicly that we all know about. The gift of tongues is a beautiful gift given to the believer, as we'll study in chapter 14, clearly to edify ourselves. It is a gift whereby my spirit can commune with God through the Holy Spirit in singing praises to Him. Now, what happened in the first century church, as we get to chapter 14, you'll see that people just start, as the pastor's teaching, people just start speaking in tongues, and confusion came in. So he said, unless there is somebody there, one or two, that can interpret, don't speak in tongues in the church. And what happens in the modern day church is that somebody will start speaking in tongues in a charismatic fellowship or a Pentecostal fellowship, and then immediately somebody will start speaking. Now, if you've never been in those meetings, well, have you been in those meetings, you know that their voice is always a couple of octaves higher than normal. Well, that saith the Lord! You know, and the women just go up into the A, you know, way up there off the scale, and oh, that about scares the dickens out of you right there, you know. They just, oh, Jesus, you know, and all of a sudden, well, I mean, I've known you for 15 years. I've never seen you go, oh, Jesus, in the shopping center or the mall or when we're surfing. But all of a sudden, people get in these services and they become a different personality. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't think that Jesus wants me all of a sudden to be normal, mild-mannered Clark Kent, and then all of a sudden out of the phone booth and I can leap tall buildings in a single bound. I'm a different person. I mean, I think my personality is going to be the same, but what happens, I think, is people just get excited, and they get excited in the flesh, and so they take it into the flesh, and they're probably exercising a gift too. But usually what happens is this person really doesn't have an interpretation. They have the gift of prophecy. And you're all saying, well, what did that lady in the back row say so loud and shrill and all that? It wasn't Spanish. It wasn't Peruvian. It wasn't even the Christ language, the French people stuff, you know. It wasn't even their voice. What was that? And then some guy jumps up and says, thus saith the Lord God Almighty. Well, in chapter 14, it tells us that's a prophecy. If it's a tongue that I am speaking from my spirit, then it will exalt God and edify everyone that hears it. And it's really that lady praising the Lord. And an interpretation would be somebody stands here and says, oh Lord God, I love you with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Lord, I thank you so much. You see the difference? As one is, thus saith the Lord, prophecy. The other one's, Lord. Now, the lady sitting over here, the man that has interpretation, or you get this gift of interpretation. It's not if all of a sudden I've got this beeper that the police department can beep me, right? Beep, 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 beep. Oh, they're calling me. Go to the phone and dial that a little. Okay, great, great. It's not as if you're sitting there and all of a sudden, beep, beep, beep. Oh, turn on the gift of interpretation. Okay, I got it. Got it. We'll be right with you. Just saying, thank you. Could you speak up back there a little bit? No, what probably will happen is over in this front row, the lady over here will get an impression. And she just is maybe oblivious to the exact words and enunciation, but she starts thinking, God, I love you. I really, really love you. And what she's doing is getting the interpretation. She has the gift. And so when she starts speaking out loud, she's not prophesying. She's interpreting the person in the back row. Now, does this mean you don't exercise the gifts because you may make a mistake? No. In fact, you need to have room to grow with the gifts and exercising them, and you will make mistakes. You will make mistakes. So now you say, well, what's this tongue? Is it French? Is it German? Well, in the book of Acts, it tells us that the Spirit of God fell upon them on the day of Pentecost with like cloven tongues of fire upon their heads, and they all began to speak in glossolalia, which was tongues, different languages. And then the interpretation from the crowd says, what are these people doing? For we hear everybody speaking in each one of our dialects. You see, God had brought these people from all over the world to come to the Passover feast, and they all spoke different languages. And so the gift of tongues was all of these people, and they gave the interpretation. They're telling of the great things of God and His glory. So that verifies what the gift of tongue is. But they didn't understand. But Peter stood up and says, this is that which is spoken of by Joel the prophet. Chapter 2, verse 28. For I shall pour out of my last days my spirit upon all flesh, and the young men and the young women shall have visions and prophesy, and your old men shall have dreams. And I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and whosoever believes shall be saved. So the unique thing about the gifts of the Spirit we see from that is, immediately the Word of God should be the boundaries and the fence. It should all be done decently in order and be able to go to the Scriptures and say, this is that. And if you can't say, this is that, then we don't want to be idiots and make fools of ourselves or the Lord. So this gift of discerning spirits, it's just, wow, when do I do it? Does the beeper go off and then, oh, it's the discerning spirit time? No, what happens usually is you're standing with me and 15 other people in a crowd, and there's these people over here in the corner, and boy, it just feels edgy. You just feel uncomfortable. You don't know why. And everybody's feeling edgy and uncomfortable. And these people start coming over, and we look at them, and our first reaction is, these are bad people. You know, that's a little bit of discernment. These are bad people. Wow, what foul mouths. Wow, listen, I don't want to be around these people. But the person with discerning spirit says, you guys, we need to start praying. Start praying. These guys are demon-possessed. And there's that, really, yeah. And then the guy with the word of prophecy said, thus saith the Lord, get out of here as quick as you can. You know, so you start working together as a team. And the other one says, no, I'm going to speak in tongues. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, you could be speaking in French or German or an unknown language. Now, here's a classic example. Chuck Smith, who came from a Pentecostal background, if you've never read his book, we have it in the bookstore called Charisma versus Chrismania. He grew up in the Chrismania and always felt there was a middle-of-the-road experience with the Word of God being the governor. And he saw some guys praying for this woman to get the gift of tongues as he was finishing the evening service. And this lady had her hands up in the air and she kept saying, Daja, Daja, Daja. And Chuck says, oh yeah, great, another one of these tongue-speaking people, Daja. Get on with it. If you're going to speak in tongues, I want to hear some real tongue-speaking. And he said, I can't believe that. About a half hour later, and this man that was in the room says, hey, I was walking by this room here, and this lady was saying, Daja, Daja, Daja. And in Czechoslovakian, that means thank you, or whatever language. So that means thank you. And Chuck said, oh my gosh. Now, one lady came to ask him to pray for him in his office for the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I was on staff with him way back in 1971 or two or something like that. And this lady's husband was a very famous athletic coach. And she was really on fire for the Lord. And Chuck said, you know, just when you get home, just kneel down beside your bed, open your Bible, start reading it and praying, and let your heart just go to the Lord. And, you know, and just let the Holy Spirit fall upon you. And if you get the gift of tongues, you get the gift of tongues. If you don't get the gift of tongues, you don't get the gift of tongues. Now, in some charismatic Pentecostal circles, they talk down to you if you don't have the gift of tongues. As if that is the only sign that you've been baptized in the Spirit. No. The sign you've been baptized in the Spirit is that you're a witness unto Jesus. And the witness unto Jesus is that you're a man or a woman of love and sacrifice. You give yourself to other people. That's being a witness of Jesus. Jesus didn't walk around speaking in tongues. But what a great gift. So the devil would like to confuse the body of Christ. So the lady went home and she says, honey, I just saw Pastor Chuck and we were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he's sitting there reading the sports section. Oh, that's good, that's good. Yeah, okay, right. And she says, well, he's not interested. She goes in the bedroom and she gets her Bible out and she's reading the book of Acts there. And she's kneeling down, just talking to the Lord. And she's beside the bed. And then the Holy Spirit fell like a sound of a mighty rushing wind. And she's, oh, Lord, I'd give anything to just be filled with your Spirit and have this wonderful gift. And all of a sudden, the room filled up with this loud noise like a mighty rushing wind coming right through. And she just threw her hands up in the air and started speaking in tongues and praising God. And then after a couple minutes, she realized the forced air heater had just turned on. But that's what God used. He used that. Kaboom! Oh, Lord! Hallelujah! It was a trigger. I have a friend that, a businessman he said that he had prayed for it, never received it, even had Chuck lay hands on him for the gift of tongues, and never got it. And one morning, he's getting ready to go to work, and he's in the shower, and all of a sudden, he started singing in an unknown language, didn't even know what he was doing, and he got it in the shower. Now, there's another guy, lives in Indianapolis area, Bill Goodrich knows him, his first name is Bruce. Bruce's testimony was amazing how he got the gift of tongues. He said, you want to know how I got the gift of tongues? I said, yeah, I always find it interesting. I mean, somebody just laid hands on me and prayed for me, and I just started singing in the Spirit, and I'd never done anything like that. He said, well, I was on my motorcycle going 90 miles an hour, and I got in an accident, and I flew 100 yards or so through the air up by Buena Park by Knott's Berry Farm. And as I'm going through the air, I start speaking in tongues, crying out to God. I said, no way. He said, and I hit the ground, and I slid and slid and slid. And when I stopped sliding, I was still speaking in tongues, and I wasn't hurt at all. I said, oh, my gosh, don't sign up for that one. That isn't my first choice, you know. So it's a wonderful gift. And so sometimes here's how it works. You're driving down the car. You're driving in the car. You're taking a shower. You're swimming. You're surfing. You're jogging. You're running. You're walking. You're talking. You're reading the Bible. You're just sitting home listening to music. And all of a sudden you say, God, I love you. I just love you. Do you ever do that? I mean, that's a good thing to do when you're all alone. Even, you know, you're making the sandwich. Lord, thank you for this sandwich. I just love you that you provide for me every day. And just the little things. He loves to hear it, like a little kid telling his mom or dad how much you love him. And all of a sudden you just say, I just wish there's another way I could tell you I love you. Well, I tithe. I do everything. And it's where your intellect stops you from entering in to the Spirit. So the gift of tongues is the Holy Spirit with your spirit taking you beyond your planned imagination of once upon a time there was three little bears, and all of a sudden your spirit is now speaking to God. But by faith, you have to start moving your lips and your tongue. And it's not gibberish. It's not that. But all of a sudden, it just happens. Now, it's like a child. When a child first starts talking, mama, dada, hey you. You know, it gets better as they go along, you know what I'm saying? You have to exercise your language a little bit. So, like, he was speaking Spanish, and he thought that I was going to interpret for him. Big mistake. But the more I study Spanish or listen to Spanish, oh, yeah, ¿cómo se llama? Your name is what? Oh, yeah, what was his name? Enrique, huh? And then all of a sudden you start speaking it a little bit more. And the same with the tongues. So don't be afraid. Don't be bashful. The gift of interpretation is also just a wonderful gift that you can help others understand what it is that they're saying. Now, but verse 11, one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So it's all up to God. We can't force it on each other, and we're going to leave here in just a moment, but I want to pray that the Holy Spirit will bless you with his gifts. Look how he finishes with these gifts here. As the body is one member and has many members, is one, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. We've all been made to drink into one Spirit. So there's one Holy Spirit. I had a Lutheran pastor call me this morning and speak with me. I talked to a Methodist pastor the other day about something. I talked to an independent charismatic guy the other day about something, and we're fellowshipping. And we're also different in the body of Christ, but it's the same Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free people, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So if your foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, Is it therefore not of the body? How important the foot is for you and me. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eyeball, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. So, listen, because I get lots of letters throughout the day and throughout the week and the month and the year. And some of you that are here go to other churches regularly, but you like to come here and you can get away for whatever reason. And some of you go here on Sundays, but you like to go somewhere else. And the reason you feel comfortable at one place more than another is because you're probably supposed to be a part of that body. And the reason you feel like this minister ministers to you, or this music ministers to you, or the children's ministry, the kids, or the teaching, or the preaching, or whatever, is because you probably should settle in to that body. Now, because you've settled in, and I've settled in, and we've all settled in, we can now start strengthening each other. Now that we're strengthening each other and we're exercising our gifts one with another, God lifts us up. And now that he lifts us up, we have a responsibility as a body. We have so many people that write us, call us, come and see us. Could you help our ministry? We help dozens of ministries financially. Little unknown ministries, a few medium-sized and one or two large ministries. But we help a lot of people that are getting the job done. And we do a lot financially in parts of the world that I could never talk about publicly. That God is doing some fantastic things. But I know that our commander-in-chief has called us to be ready to go to battle any day or night for him. That we're an evangelistic arm of the body of Christ. And we know that our strength comes from praising him, worshiping him, loving him, and studying his word, and walking according to his word. So our emphasis is just like that, that we have a purpose. Now, when you feel comfortable at a small church, a big church, a medium church, you better find out what your gift is and say, count me and I'm here to serve. I'm here to strengthen you and to better you. I have the gift of prayer. I like to pray. What are your prayer needs? You know, I've got a lot of money. I spent years spending the money on myself and bragging about it. What does God need to have done right? I'd like to write you a check right now that we could just cover that whole stadium down there. You know, and that's my gift. You don't need to tell anybody about it. Praise the Lord. I mean, we all have a gift. And there isn't one gift that's greater than another gift. We're a body. We're a family. And when I sit down with my family and they're all home, as the dad, as the husband, as the head of that household, there's no greater feeling than to sit at the head of that table and say, let's join hands and let's pray. And I know how God feels, that he sits down on his throne, he looks at you and he says, man, you're holding hands with the body. You're holding hands with your family. You're needed. If you ever feel lonely and out of it, you're needed. Just get in the body of Christ where you belong. Stay there and be faithful for it and pray for it. Don't rip it. Don't shred it. Don't divide it. Support it. Because there are no perfect pastors or ministers or ministries, because it's made up of you and me. And all we have to do is look at each other and we can say, amen, Brother McIntosh. All right. Amen. So we'll end right there. We are a body and we love the Lord. Don't we love the Lord? We do love the Lord. We thank you for the privilege of being a member of the body of Christ. And now I pray, Father, that we here at this church will see that we're not the only church in town. And so there isn't a them and us attitude or hopping church to church. Help people quit spiritually pogo sticking around town and be a part of building your kingdom, not a part of soiling it or treading on it or hurting it or using it or abusing it or dividing it or making it sick or draining it. But being a positive influence in your body, Lord, in your kingdom, as we sit here, as real as we're sitting here, that you would now just pour out upon these men and women your gifts. Pour them out without any measure, Lord, and let their hearts be on fire for you, Lord, to exercise these gifts to build up the kingdom of God. Holy Spirit, give courage and boldness to people to exercise things that are new to them, and then, Lord, use them to edify the body of Christ with these wonderful, beautiful gifts that are ours, so that we can communicate spiritually. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.